It's a real pleasure for me to be here with you this morning. You know, it was only halfway through the service that I realized that this was an Alliance Church. I should know better after having worshipped for 48 years in an Alliance Church. So obviously missions is something that is very much a part of the DNA of our denomination. Thank you also for the beautiful music. While I enjoyed the contemporary songs of the earlier service, I learned all these old songs growing up as a Christian. And I haven't sung some of them for decades. So thank you so much. A few years ago, I was driving out to speak at a church in Hamilton. And because I didn't know how to get to the church, I had an old Garmin GPS. I was making great progress for the first half an hour. And then all of a sudden it took me to a place where I was completely lost. I was so frustrated with my garment. But I had bought it in 2009 and never updated the maps. And I didn't own a smartphone at that time. See, if you're going somewhere, it is very important that you have to sail according to correct maps. Of course, nowadays Google automatically updates itself, right? But it doesn't seem to happen that way when it comes to our own worldviews. In the journey of life, we are also navigating through certain maps. And these maps are not always accurate. And to sail according to inaccurate maps is not very wise. Especially when it comes to the whole our commission from Jesus. We need to get our global maps accurate. It will be a real tragic consequence otherwise. Because when it comes to the allocation of our resources of energy and time and money, we will not be doing it wisely or accurately. And as Christians, we need to regularly redraw our maps. And it is not always easy. I mean, the actual geographical world maps were very inaccurate until about the 16th century. It took courageous sailors who would sail these oceans and find out the details of the land maps, and then cartographers would draw the maps. It was not easy work and it required courage. Same thing is true when it comes to redrawing our world maps. And sometimes, because the work is hard, we reject the new information. We argue against it. We can even mount a counter argument to it. That is why I love your mission theme, Be Thou My Vision. It is Jesus who is going to help us redraw our maps. So I want to begin by asking a question. what would happen if Jesus showed up in this church but incognito? We wouldn't recognize him.
如果今天耶稣在我们今天的崇拜里面出现，但是他隐藏了他的身份的时候，会怎样发生呢？
What would he see and hear, and what would he do with what he saw and heard?
他会见到什么？他会听到什么？而他对看到和听到的有什么反应呢？
We don't know the answer to that question.
我们不知道答案是什么。
But there is one particular church where that actually happened.
但是其中历史里面有一间教会是事实上这样发生了的。
It happened on what we call Palm Sunday.
这个就是在我们所说的中树节的主日发生的。
Now we don't usually think of Palm Sunday until Palm Sunday.
通常我们都不会想中树节的主日，直到那天才会想到。
And even then some churches forget that.
有些教会甚至忘记了中树节的主日。
But we usually think of what happened on Palm Sunday morning.
很多时候我们是那个礼拜日的早上才想起那个中树节的礼拜日。
Of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem.
就是说耶稣来的很荣耀的进入耶路撒冷。
What we don't often think about is how Palm Sunday ended.
但我们很少去想想这个中树节的主日是怎样来到，是去结束的。
It says in Mark chapter 11 verse 11.
在马可福音第11章第11节里面说，
And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple, and when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
这个话耶稣进入耶路撒冷，入了圣殿，周围看了各样的物件，天色已晚，就和十二个门徒出城，往伯大尼去。
So Palm Sunday ended with an inspection of the temple.
这个中树节是怎样结束呢？就是耶稣来到去观察这个圣殿。
And we know what happened on Monday.
咁我哋知道星期一发生咗咩事啦？
On the first day of Passion Week，
就系喺呢个嘅受难节嘅第嘅周嘅第一日。He
came to the outer court where all the money changers and the people were selling and buying animals for sacrifice。
咁佢嚟到殿里边咧，就睇到好多人喺度买卖，喺度兑换银钱嚟到买呢啲嘅畜生。
And he overturned all the table of the money changers and he made a whip and he drove out all the animals。
咁佢咧就佢将呢啲嘅台咧，佢系好愤怒嘅，将呢啲台嘅反转，亦都系将呢啲嘅人全部赶走。
And this is what he said. He said, Is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it into a den of robbers. You can just imagine the reaction of the people. Now, what was the significance of what Jesus said and did? You see, he did this whole work in the outer court of the Gentiles. Access in the temple was very carefully prescribed as to who could go how far. There was the outer court where Gentiles who were non-Jews who wanted to worship Yahweh could come.
那裡呢，那時候呢，有一個外院，就是外邦人來敬畏神，因為他們不能夠進入這個至聖所裡面。
But they couldn't go any further.
但他們不可以再繼續進去了。Then
there was the court of the women, Jewish women.
接著就進去有一些女性可以進入的地方。Then
the court of the Jewish men.
然後就是一些猶太的男士可以進入的地方。Then
the priests.
然後就是祭司可以進入的地方。And
then only the high priest once a day on the Day of Atonement in the Holy of Holies.
就是在至圣日的时候，最高的祭司才可以进入去最入边嗰个地方。But
the Gentiles could only come to the outer courts.
但是这些外邦人只可以去到一个外院的地方。And
it was this outer court that the money changers and the sellers of animals had turned into a noisy place where no one could worship.
就是这个外邦人去敬拜神的地方，就成为一个非常之嘈吵买卖的一个市场。
That's why Jesus quoted from Isaiah, Do you not know, my Father's house is a house of prayer for all nations?
所以耶稣说在以赛亚书里面说，我的殿就是神要万民在当中祷告的殿。He
cleansed the temple because Israel had forgotten her call to bless the nations of the world.
耶稣要去洁净这个圣殿，因为以色列人已经忘记了他们是被呼召要去将这个福音来到，将神的名来到去尊荣的。And
Jesus' denunciation of the temple was an end point of a long history of failure when it came to the global mission.
耶稣对圣殿这个斥责，是因为在过往有很长的历史一直累积以来的结果。So
I want to trace that story for you throughout the scriptures.
所以我想和大家翻返去原本这个故事，来到去看一下这个历史是怎样发生的。
This is the map that we need to redraw.
这个就是我们要重新去画过一个地图。
Way back in Genesis chapter 12, in the first three verses, we have the covenant with Abraham. This is the foundational covenant in Scripture. It is repeated over 50 times throughout the Bible. Now there are two parts to this covenant that God makes with Abraham. In the first part, he says, I will bless you. And then he says, all nations will be blessed through you. So when God calls Abraham to leave his country and go to the new land, he says, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. Let us move forward a few centuries. As God promised, Abraham had many descendants. His son Isaac, his grandson Jacob, and then the 12 patriarchs of Israel. You might know the story of Joseph, how he was sold by his brothers into Egypt. And there Joseph rose from a slave to become the prime minister of the whole country. And there was a big famine in that whole region. And Joseph's father Jacob and his brothers with their family of 70 moved to Egypt. And so they prospered in Egypt. And then the book of Exodus opens by saying another Pharaoh rose up who did not know about Joseph. And because the Hebrews were multiplying so much, they said we will make them into slaves so they won't fight against us. And for 400 years they suffered under terrible slavery. And then you know the story of Moses, how God raised up Moses to deliver these people. But when Moses was up in the mountain receiving the commandments from God, the Israelites down in the valley had already begun to commit idolatry. And God says to Moses, leave me alone, Moses, I want to destroy these people for their idolatry. And in Exodus chapter 32, we will read about Moses' prayer. And he said, Lord, why can't be so angry with your people? Because you blessed them and you took them out. But he didn't stop there. You know what he said after that in his prayer? He said, what will the Egyptians say about you? They will say you were not able to preserve your own people. See, Moses understood both parts of the Abrahamic covenant. He didn't just say, Lord, you have blessed these people so you can't destroy them. He also was concerned about God's reputation among the Egyptians. So his prayer was based on both part 1 and part 2 of the Abrahamic covenant. Moses pleads with God to bless his own people so that they will bless the nations. Let us move forward from Exodus to the Psalms. They were the worship manual of Israel. And in the Psalm there are more than 110 references to the nations and the peoples. Israel in their worship were never allowed to forget that they were called to be a blessing to the nations of the world. So often we can make the mistake of thinking of why we have all these wonderful worship experiences together. And we might go away saying, wasn't that a great message? Wasn't the choir so beautiful? Wasn't the soloist so wonderful? And not a thought has been given to the nations of the world. That's why I'm so glad to hear that you have a 4-week emphasis on Jesus be my vision for the nation.
And
I want to encourage you to continue to do that. So that in our worship we will never forget our responsibility to the nations. All right, let's move from the Psalms to the prophets. And there is one unique prophet in the Old Testament. Now there were many prophets. And they all had one thing in common. God spoke to the people through the prophets. But there is one prophet that God did not speak through. He spoke to the prophet and the people were listening. His name is Jonah. He is called the reluctant prophet.
Because
chapter 1 begins with the call of Jonah to preach to Nineveh. And the Ninevites, you know, were Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. And they were one of the cruelest of rulers at that time. They were the enemies of Israel. And Jonah did not want to preach to the enemies. So he jumps into a ship and moves in the opposite direction. And you know how the story developed. He was thrown overboard, God sent a fish to swallow him, and he's brought out on land and he's recommissioned to preach. And Jonah preaches. 40 days and after that God is going to judge you. Amazingly, the king of Assyria repented. And the whole city was called to repentance. Now tell me something, if you were an evangelist who was called to preach all over the city of Toronto, and suppose the mayor of the city of Toronto repented and called the entire city to repentance. What would be your reaction as the evangelist? You should be overjoyed, right? Look at how Jonah reacted. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly and he was angry. What would you think of an evangelist who was angry and upset with God for hearing his preaching and calling a whole city to repentance? This man's national idol of nationalism was completely exposed. How does the story end? Its story ends with a sulking prophet and God saying to him, should I not be concerned about that city? And the story stops at that point. Don't you want to know how Jonah responded? Why is it left incomplete? Because the point of the story wasn't Jonah. But every time Israel heard this story, it was a question to them. Will you be concerned about the nations? See, we don't know how Jonah responded. But we do know how Israel responded. They continuously forgot their mission to bless the nations. Instead, they began to see themselves as a superior people. They remembered the first part of the Abrahamic covenant, but they forgot the second part. So here's the question. How was God's promise to bless the nations through Abraham going to be fulfilled if his own people were not doing it? Through one unique seed of Abraham. His name was Jesus. Because how does the New Testament open? The genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham. So right away the connection is made to the first verse in the New Testament to the entire history of the Old Testament. This is the unique descendant of Abraham through whom all nations will be blessed. So let us look at the life of Jesus, because he is going to be our vision. Matthew's gospel begins with the first genealogy. Now we don't like to read genealogies, they are boring. All these unpronounceable names of people who've had children and this son and that son and that son forever and ever, you know. But this genealogy is unique. Because four women are mentioned in that genealogy. That is already unique. And three of these four women were non-Jewish. So right in the opening verse of the New Testament, the writer emphasizes that Jesus' descent was including non-Jewish people as well. And then in the very next chapter, we see Jesus being worshipped. And who are the people who are worshipping Jesus? These are the Magi from the East. So the first people who are worshipping Jesus, the Savior of the world, are not Jews but Gentiles. And all this in the first gospel, which was directed specifically to the Jewish audience. Because there are far more quotations of the Old Testament in Matthew's gospel than in any of the other gospels. So isn't it interesting that the New Testament begins with the emphasis that Jesus came to save the nations? Then let's look at Jesus' ministry. Where did Jesus begin his ministry? Not in Jerusalem, the capital. Not where the temple was. Not where all the priests and the religious leaders were. Jesus began his ministry in Galilee. It was called Galilee of the Gentiles. Again, at the very beginning of his ministry, he emphasizes for us, he came to bless the Gentiles too. He was the one true representative Israelite through whom God would do what the nation of Israel didn't do. And after his resurrection, where did he tell the disciples to go to wait for him? He said, go to Galilee, there I will meet you. So that his disciples would not forget that they came to bless the nations of the world too. And then, how about his first sermon in Nazareth in Galilee? He remembers, he begins by quoting Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind. And then he says to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. But in Isaiah, there is a verse that comes after that. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, but also the vengeance upon the Gentiles. But in Luke's Gospel, when Jesus quotes Isaiah, he does not mention about the judgment of the nations. Because he came to bless, not to curse. And the people are all wondering about this amazing son of a carpenter and where he learned to speak so powerfully and so beautifully. Until Jesus used two illustrations. He talked about a widow in the Old Testament that Elijah went to bless. Even though there were many other widows from Israel, he went and blessed a Gentile widow. And how Elisha healed the Syrian Naaman from leprosy. Even though there were many lepers in Israel. Oh, you can all of a sudden the people changed, reaction changed from adoration to anger. And they wanted to kill him. Why? Because Jesus dared to say, I have come to bless the nations of the world, and Yahweh has always wanted to do that. You see, they had drawn their maps all wrong. And when Jesus came to correct the maps, by reminding them from Abraham to Moses to the Psalms through Jonah that they were called to bless the nations. They did not want to redraw their maps. Instead, they wanted to kill the messenger. You might have the same reaction today. Hopefully not to kill the messenger, but you reject the message. Then remember the two feeding miracles that Jesus did. Now there are some minor differences in the stories. The number of fish that the little boy had, and the number of bread that he had, and the number of people that were fed, but the stories are the same. But are they really the same? No, the first miracle was the feeding of the Jewish people, and the second miracle in the Decapolis where the Gentiles were fed. Jesus is bread for the Jews and he's bread for the Gentiles. You see, now we understand the cleansing of the temple. In their worship, they had completely forgotten this entire history. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have sabotaged that purpose. And how does history end? In Revelation chapter 5, where Jesus is on the throne along with God the Father, and surrounding him are people from every tribe, nation, language, and worshipping him. So you see, my brothers and sisters, global missions is not one or two verses in the Bible. It is a spinal cord throughout the whole Bible. From Abraham in Genesis 12 to Revelation chapter 5. This is the map that we have to align our lives to. And all of us are intended to play a part as individuals and as churches. And in order for this to happen, we need to take a second look at what it really means to be born again. So often we think of conversion as just some private transaction between me and Jesus. But that's not the way the scriptures define it. You remember when the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 says these words, Philippians chapter 3 verse 12. He says, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to take a hold of that for which Jesus Christ has taken a hold of me. See, Paul does not see his conversion as some decision that he made to follow Jesus. No, he sees conversion as Jesus taking a hold of him and commissioning him for his purposes. And it's not just Paul, because in verse 15 he says, let those of us who are mature think this way. In other words, all of us as believers need to rethink our conversion. Yes, certainly there was a dimension of human response. I made a decision to follow Jesus at the age of 17 at a Youth for Christ rally in New Delhi. But Paul says, no, behind it there was something even more profound that was happening. Sunday, you didn't choose to follow Jesus. He laid his hands on you and chose you to follow him. Little did I know that this would be my calling. I was training to be an engineer. I didn't know I was going to be a pastor most of my life.
Engineer.
I discovered why I was called by Jesus. Now you may say, isn't this just a matter of semantics that I chose Jesus or Jesus chose me? What difference does it make? It makes a huge difference, I'll tell you why. Because you see, if I chose Jesus, he will remain one among many other choices that I have made. I choose my job, I choose my house, I choose my career, I choose how I spend my money, I choose how I spend my spare time. Oh, and Jesus gets a bit of his time too.
所以我有好多個選擇，我會揀我嘅屋、我嘅事業、我嘅金錢點樣使用、我嘅時間點樣使用，而耶穌只係其中一個選擇。
No, Jesus is not one among many other choices that I make.
耶穌唔係我喺好多選擇裏邊其中一個嘅選擇。
Because then if Jesus chose me,
如果係耶穌選擇我嘅時候，
then all these other choices that I make get integrated under this big choice.
而如果耶穌選擇嘅時候，我所有嘅選擇都會融合咗喺耶穌選擇我呢個嘅中心裏邊。
It's the difference between Jesus fitting into a fragmented approach to life and us fitting into Jesus as an integrated life.
呢個到底係耶穌嚟到係去融入我哋係好多嘅選擇嘅生命裏邊，定還是我哋讓耶穌嚟到係去融合喺我哋整個嘅生命裏邊？
Next week I'm going to talk about some specific ways in which we are to play our part in the drama of redemption.
在下個星期我會同大家嚟到分享下我哋每一個人嗰個嘅角色喺神嗰個嘅大計劃裏邊係點樣融合。
But it has to begin with this understanding that our life is to be integrated under Jesus' call on our lives.
因為我哋一定要明白到就係神對我哋生命嗰個嘅呼召，我哋點樣嚟到係融合喺神呢個大使命裏邊。
Let me give you some illustrations.
我想同大家俾一啲嘅舉例。
Of the difference between a fragmented approach to our faith and an integrated approach to our faith.
係一個分割式嘅一個嘅模式，定還是一個係融合式嘅模式？
I'm thinking of a Christian businessman that I know.
我係諗緊一個我認識嘅基督徒嘅一個嘅商人。
Every year he would go to Florida to play golf for a week.
咁佢每年咧都會有一個月嘅時間咧就去Florida去打高爾夫球嘅。
Nothing wrong with that. I'd like to go to Florida in February too, you know.
呢個冇乜錯嘅，我都好中意去打高爾夫球。
But he always chose the week when the church would have its missions conference.
咁但係咧，佢每一年咧都係選擇咗喺教會做差傳月嘅時候去打高爾夫球喎。
Because he was not interested in that.
因為佢覺得佢同我冇乜關係。
So that was a good week to be going away.
所以咧係一個非常好嘅時間嚟到去打高爾夫球。
That is a very fragmented approach.
呢個係一個非常分割式嘅一個嘅模式。
Let me tell you about another businessman.
咁我咧就想同大家講下另外一位嘅商人。
I was speaking to about 500 missionaries from Pioneers Organization in Thailand many years ago.
好多年前我喺泰國地方同有500個宣教士嚟到嚟去講道。
And they had a very beautiful worship team here of many different cultures.
咁佢哋咧有一個嘅敬拜隊裏邊咧有好多唔同嘅國籍嘅人喺當中，文化喺當中。
Most of them were younger people.
大部分咧都係年青人。
But right in the back was a man who was in his maybe 50s or 60s, quietly playing the bass guitar throughout the worship times.
咁咧喺個台後邊咧有一個大約50-60歲嘅弟兄咧就係彈緊呢個嘅吉他嘅。
I was having breakfast with him one morning.
咁有一日咧我就同佢嚟到係食早餐。
So he told me about himself.
咁佢咧就同我分享佢嘅生命。
He was a pharmaceutical salesman on the west coast of the United States.
咁咧佢就喺美國西岸嘅咧就係做一個嘅去賣一啲嘅藥嘅商人嚟。
I said, what brought you here?
咁我話點解你會喺度嘅咧？
Oh, he said our worship pastor told us about this conference that was happening where several hundred missionaries would gather for a week and they would be able to worship all in their own mother tongue for one whole week.
咁我佢話我教會裏邊嘅敬拜嗰個嘅牧師咧就同我講喺泰國呢個地方有一個星期係好多唔同國籍嘅宣教士嚟到係用佢哋自己嘅語言嚟到去敬拜神。
Because most of the time they worship in these languages of the people that they are attempting to reach.
因為好多時候佢哋敬拜時候都係用當地本土嘅人嘅言語嚟到去敬拜嘅。
So he said, would you be willing to help out on our worship team?
咁所以佢就問我，你能唔能夠係幫助呢個嘅敬拜小組一齊嘅嚟到敬拜？
So this man spent his own money.
咁呢個商人咧就用佢自己嘅錢
to travel all the way to the Far East.
嚟到係飛到去泰國呢個地方。
He took 10 days of his vacation time.
佢用咗10日佢自己假期嘅時間。
All to sit in the back of the stadium on the stage.
咁就喺個台嘅坐到最後嘅地方。
so 500 missionaries could worship Jesus.
以至到呢五百個宣教士能夠去敬拜神。
See the difference between those two businessmen?
你睇唔睇到呢兩個商人嗰個嘅分別咧？
One has a fragmented approach to his Christian faith, the other one has an integrated approach.
第一個係對佢整個信仰係一個分割式嘅一個嘅睇法，第二個係一個融合式嘅睇法。
Now let me give you a second example from a life of a grandfather.
第二個例子咧就係講到一個祖父嘅一個嘅
I am a grandfather. I have six wonderful grandchildren.
咁咧，我咧係一個嘅祖父，我有六個孫。
Several years ago, I was speaking at a camp in New York.
咁幾年前咧，就喺紐約嘅地方嚟到講道。
And the week before I preached was their week of missions emphasis.
咁喺我講道之前嘅一個星期咧，就係佢哋嘅差傳。
And they had a missionary leader who was speaking.
咁嗰度嘅宣教嘅講員咧喺度講道。
And he said one of the biggest obstacles to sending missionaries overseas are grandparents who do not want their children to take their grandchildren away.
一個對宣教一個最大嘅阻攔就係一啲嘅公公婆婆唔想佢哋嘅仔女將佢哋嘅孫嚟到係去差咗去做宣教士。
Those grandparents are living a fragmented Christianity。
咁呢啲嘅祖父祖母咧係活緊一個分割式嘅一個嘅信仰。
Let me tell you about another grandparent。
咁咧，我想同大家分享下另外一個嘅祖父。
His son and daughter-in-law worshipped in our church。
咁佢嘅仔同佢嘅新抱咧，喺我教會裏邊崇拜嘅。
And they have served in Sudan, in Afghanistan, and in Aceh, Indonesia, three of the most troubled spots in the world.
咁佢哋咧喺世界裏邊三個最危險嘅國家就係阿富汗、蘇丹同埋印尼嚟到係去宣教嘅。
And they had two young children.
咁佢哋有兩個係好年輕嘅兒女。
So I asked the young man, "What does your father think about this?"
咁佢就話：咁我就問：咁你爸爸點樣諗咧？
He said, "Of course, I will miss my grandchildren, but I dedicated you to be a follower of Jesus. You are now doing what I want you to do."
佢話：當然我會係好唔捨得我嘅孫，但係你嘅生命係我係奉獻俾神嘅。而家你係做緊神要你做嘅事工。
That's the difference between a fragmented grandparent and an integrated grandparent.
呢個就係一個分割式嘅一個嘅祖父母嘅睇法，同埋一個融合式嘅祖父母嘅睇法。
Are you beginning to get an idea of the difference between these two ways of looking at this world?
你而家系咪開始明白我哋用咩嘅方法、用咩嘅眼光嚟去睇我哋嘅世界咧
？Let me give you a third example。
我俾第三個嘅例子俾大家。
And this is from retirement。
呢個咧就係講到退休啦。
I am now retired for 3 years。
牧師咧就係退休咗，話退休咗三年。
And in North America, retirement usually means leisure and detachment from anything significant.
咁喺北美洲咧，退休咧就係喺度嘆世界，乜都唔做嘅。
It's a time to rest, relax, do gardening。
咁咧就係去休息啦，種下花啦，嘆世界啦。
When the weather allows us, of course。
當然係當天氣容許。
Or to travel。
或者咧就係去遊浮。
Now there's nothing wrong with all of these things。
呢啲全部都係好好嘅事情。
But that's a fragmented approach to retirement。
但係呢個係佢對退休嚟講係一個非常之分割式嘅睇法。
Let me give an example of an integrated approach to retirement。
咁我想同大家俾一個係融合式基督徒融合式嘅退休嘅睇法。
Back to the same conference in Thailand。
就係翻去同一個喺泰國呢個嘅靈會。
I was having breakfast with another man one morning。
咁我同另一位弟兄嚟到食早餐嘅時候。
He was a policeman from Baltimore, Maryland, who was now retired。
咁佢喺美國一個嘅做警察，咁佢而家咧就退咗休啦。
I said, "What are you doing here?"
咁我就問：咁你今日點解會喺呢度咧
？You know, these 600 missionaries had 300 children between them.
咁呢600個宣教士咧有300個仔女。
And you know how dangerous it can be in countries like Thailand with young children.
咁你要知道喺泰國咧有細蚊仔咧係其實係有啲危險嘅。
He was one of the two guards outside the building where the children were being ministered to.
咁咧，佢就喺兒童工作出邊咧做嗰個嘅保安嘅。
I was the main speaker at the conference, and I could not go into that region.
咁我咧係當時嗰個嘅講員，但我都入唔到去嗰個地方。
And he serves as a policeman looking after the children so the parents can worship God together.
咁佢做警察，退休嘅警察，但係佢當度係做保安嚟到保護呢啲嘅兒童，以至到佢哋嘅父母能夠係去專心嘅嚟到去聽到。
I said, "What are you doing after this conference is over?"
咁我話呢個嘅領會完咗之後，你會做咩咧
？He said, "I'm going to travel to northern Thailand where some poor people have a chicken farm."
咁咧，我就會去到泰北呢個地方，有好多貧窮嘅人，佢哋係養雞嘅。
He had learnt about that from a lady who used to work as a servant in that hotel.
咁咧，佢就係喺一個酒店裏邊有一個嘅女士喺嗰度工作，咁佢咧就學識咗點樣嚟到去。
And he says, "I know something about chicken farming." So every time after serving the missionaries at their conference, he goes and helps this poor family in the chicken business.
所以呢，佢每一年係完咗呢個嘅宣教會嘅時候，佢就去到泰北呢個地方咧，去幫一個好窮困嘅家庭嚟到去養雞。
Now that's not a fragmented retiree, he's an integrated retiree.
呢個唔係一個分角色嘅一個嘅退休嘅人士，而係佢將佢信仰融合咗喺佢退休嘅生活裏邊。
And finally, this is also true of churches, not of individuals.
而最後，呢個同樣地喺教會亦都係有同樣一個睇法。
We are called to be integrated churches under the Great Commission, not fragmented churches.
我哋嘅教會係喺神嘅大使命裏邊，係要融合喺神大使命裏邊。
Missions is not something that we do one weekend in a year or even four weekends in a year.
差傳唔係喺我哋教會裏邊一年裏邊做一個禮拜或者做四個禮拜嘅事。
And then it's back to our own little church.
咁然後咧就翻返向我哋自己一個閂埋門嘅一個教會。
Where we sing our happy and joyful songs and have our nice wonderful meals.
咁我哋咧好開心一齊唱歌一齊食飯，但係閂埋到門嘅。
All of which is good.
所有嘢都係非常之開心，非常之好。
No, that's a fragmented approach.
但係呢個係喺我哋教會嘅生活係一個分割式嘅生活。
An integrated approach says.
但係一個融合式嘅睇法就係。
How do all of our programs, all of our eating together, all of our other ministries, how they all serving the Great Commission locally and globally?
呢個就係我哋所有嘅事工，我哋一齊嘅食飯，我哋一齊嘅崇拜，點樣嚟到係融合到喺整個。 神嘅大使命裏邊，全球嗰個大使命裏邊嚟到喺度運作。
So next week we are going to build upon this message.
喺下個星期嘅時候，我會繼續嚟到係去講下第二部分。
Because we are not all the same.
因為我哋每一個人都係唔同嘅。
So God has called each one of us to serve uniquely through an integrated lifestyle.
所以神係要去呼召我哋每一個人都係有好唔同嘅方面、唔同嘅恩賜嚟到係好融合嘅一齊嘅嚟到侍奉。
The choir sang a song earlier. Where you tell me, I will go.
喺詩班裏邊，頭先所講嘅就係我哋要去。
But not all of us are going to go.
但係唔係全部人都一齊去。
Some are called to go, and others are called to partner with them.
有啲係要出去，有啲人係要同佢一齊嘅嚟到去同工。
And we're going to talk about the shape of that partnership next week.
下一個星期我會講到係我哋點樣用一個咩模式一齊嘅嚟到去同工。
But for today, the goal was to redraw our maps to begin to live an integrated life.
今日嘅目的就係想大家嚟到去調整，重新去畫呢個地圖，點樣嚟到生活，成為一個融合式嘅基督徒。
So I have two simple things for you to do.
我有兩件嘅功課俾大家。
First of all, sometime before this week is over, review this message.
咁喺呢個禮拜裏邊嘅時候，請大家再重温我今日講呢篇嘅道。
Because otherwise, by Wednesday night, you will forget 90% of what you heard this morning.
因為到星期三晚咧，你可能已經唔記得咗九成我所講嘅嘢啦。
And nothing wrong with you. That's just the way our minds work.
唔係話你哋唔好，呢個我哋嘅人嘅腦就係咁樣噶啦。
So review the message and look at the scriptures that we referred to.
所以希望大家重温呢個嘅信息，亦都係睇翻呢啲嘅經文。
And then come back next week.
而下個星期日翻返嚟呢度。
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.